We had a lot of fun. You know, when we had a church in Wisconsin years ago, we still became the moment because we mentioned fighting of things. And then the church got to be too small for all the places they got to send them to place. As we started piling them up in the boxes and so on, that's in the wall of rooms. And I was just looking around here getting this like the Israel. You know, and then some of these, like, some of these countries that you got around here, like the 10th of the world, some of these countries, you know, it's an amazing thing to do and be open. But at the same time, you know, in Honduras, when God called us, it was such a, I had taken a period of time in Arizona. We had been called down by a friend of mine from a woman called Patricia Fong, who was a prophet inside of the church and stuff like that. And I had 3 minutes ministry in the church for a meeting like that. And she said, tell him that he needs to come down to Arizona because he wants to be able that Arizona was going to speak to him. And so we were in Wisconsin, the parents lived in Arizona. So we thought it made sense. We went down there. We found a building, we started doing some stuff, and things just started taking off. People were coming in. And the trouble with it is, I've always gone to the areas where people are forced. You know, we didn't go into the Phoenix, the rich people, or we went to Pat and Joe's.
Yes. Huh? You started
there. Huh? 2 years. Did you? They used to say that that was the low spot in that area. And so we had rented a defense building that was run by another church to the Rangers. But they moved out after the so they had the order. And this was already being set up. And we started preaching, and people were coming in. We actually had people that came in, and one day I was playing drums, and my wife was playing, my father-in-law was doing. Lead the, you know, lead the guitar. And all of a sudden, I just got swaying in the spirit. I was laying back and slaying on the floor. And I thought, I can't get up the bridge, you know, I can't move, you know. And so all of a sudden, from the back of the church, just getting this body, and she says, I just landed in full strap. As long as playing, I'm in a position to fly in. She said, what am I playing? I'm still going to be done. Show me all of your faces. And she says, and I saw God and God said, don't do this. Brave up. I don't know if it's and she says, I see her face. And so I wanted to see what was going on. So I pushed myself up. I was sitting behind her. And she goes, I see you. And she was like, going for you. She said, we just prayed for her. And he said, Holy Spirit, go straight to her. The first thing I was is, no, it's after that. After going in and seeing all this, God speaks to me and says, put it down and spend time with me. And I thought, I have been studying that for 6 years. I've been, put it down. We can't find your faith words. She said, put it down. And so, they came to me and said, next time you go somewhere else. Go to this church down in San Santa, go wherever you want. Take what you've learned here and spread it out. Maybe that's good. And we ended up moving in and buying a house. And all of a sudden, I just started doing some investing. Started buying houses, fixing them up, selling and buying a house, paying off debt, doing all the stuff. And she had to go and be a prostitute. See, one or two. I mean, full life, you know, but it's, I hated it too. I hated every moment because that's what God called me to do. Between that period of time, we bought so many houses, we built so many different places. One day, in the middle of the night, I had to build for a time. I don't know what you're doing. Oh, no. Oh. Just put it down. why? I don't understand it. You know, and we're having these worship meetings, and I'm experiencing the presence of God. We've been in Pensacola revival. We've been in Smithton revival. We've gone to every revival. So I said, when did I have the presence of God? I said, I don't want to lose this. I just want to die. And now I'm in this place where it's like, it was the desert.
Yeah.
We're leaving in that area. It's never just leaving there. And all of a sudden, one day, between us, said, call your friend Tom. So I called Tom Stanton. I said, Tom, he said, I need you to go to Hunters. And I thought, where's that? I didn't really even know. I helped Tom raise money. The church that I pastor in Wisconsin, I used to come to it four times a year. Married my wife. They prophesied that we were supposed to be together. She didn't believe it. I didn't. No, I just. And so me, it's still, but yeah, you went down these offices and you saw the shoulder, and immediately a heart was filled. Immediately. Just seeing that these children didn't have, you know, a permanent family there to just love them. The mission was there. We're supposed to be there. And generate a whole team of them. And by the time we didn't come back, soldiers and the beauty of the bus, it's got to be this 3 years. Because when he told me to lay out, we can't invest in the answer to make money. When I got ready to sell my house to obey God, I had bought a house for $200,000, put enough payment down on it, and within 1 year, because of the economy, the house went $115,000. So when we turned around and sold that house for enough money to put out of things to sell down there and to live down there. And then I didn't even understand that during that period of time, I started paying somebody in the Social Security and doing all these other things. Which I, you know, when I'm self-employed, I try to avoid as much as possible, you know. But all of a sudden, we go in and sign up for Social Security, and I say, I mean, my business taxes and stuff. And all of a sudden, I said, well, come here, vacation, $1,000. $1,000 a week, we'd be able to survive in the city of the future. I said, that'll be great. He said, who's your definition? So I told him, he says, how old is she? And he goes, you're better than me. He's 27. He said, hey, you say, well, I've learned to run at an old age. And so basically, he said, you have any children? I said, well, yeah. He says, are they yours? I said, like, so. The period was that we had the three boys at that time. And he said, well, you know, when you were older, they were fully qualified because you waited until you're fully qualified. In 62, I waited until I was, you know, 66 years old and 3 months or something like that. He said, do you know when you're retired, the children that still have appreciation for the teens, they paid for them too. So my total benefit ended up being $3,000 a month, which is what most people wait to get before they can go to the field. Even I had the money, I wasn't going to draw until I was 70. I was just going to stay working. I didn't even know that he was doing. But he let me work through all that. So not only did he do that, he gave us enough things to do this. We didn't even have to walk from church to church and ask for money.
Thank you.
And then we saw how easy it was going to be. You know what? With that money we sold in the house, with that money that we have in here, with all this money that we have, well, it's all going to be. Isn't that what never works out the new thing.
Nope.
Because when we got there, and your heart started breaking, and you see the kids, money doesn't mean anything. It's all his anyways. By the time we went to Honduras, we put little churches, put kids on vacations, with pushing. You know, there was one time we took one girl over to church, some people today, and I said, we put this girl in the ocean. She was sexually used and abused by men for her whole life. And here she's rescued, but she doesn't like men. And she didn't want to live her next to her. Couldn't get anywhere near. But we went on this trip, and I came on her birthday. I left there, got in the car, drove by the time we could see the place back. The candles and everything. We're all just seeing happy because she looked at this. She's pushing away one of my mouth. How can you get through some of these kids? How can they not know that you love them? 2 weeks later, I'm walking. That's it. There she is. And she ran up. She gave me a hug. She's just there. We didn't leave university, so we were sure she was a problem. Even though I was so sick down there, we had to leave. I mean, really. And part of the things that I want to, how many of you know sometimes you learn the greatest lessons in life, you go through struggle, and you forget who you are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I went through almost, I had prophetic down there say, if you do not leave, 3 months, you will be dead. I said, I cannot leave until I finish the class.
Yes.
And we stayed. And I actually was in my room one time. My wife was there. Another group of interpreters. I was laying in my bed. I did not want to go to my house. I couldn't. I had a house in my pocket. The wall like this, and when we go in and we sit in the chair, I play the guitar, and there are about 3 songs that we can't make that stuff to sing. After we get done preaching, it's Karen. And, but just to turn and to finish what God said to do, and so I just kept going. And God, bad God, well, I said, what are you going to do? We can't do it. And all of a sudden, the father goes, hey, Mel's grandfather died 10 years ago in the house. And they said, nobody sticks in it. They can't afford the taxes on it anymore. Would you and Mel, if you just said, buy a house? We said, sure. And Mel said, let's pray. So we prayed, said, yeah. And he gave me a number. If they tell me $100,000, I didn't know what house looked like. I mean, no, then she wrote. She was like, yeah, it was fun. It was fun to see her torment. We did that, and he looks at us and he says, God told him, God doesn't really speak to her other than he says, I have a number in my head, and it's $100,000. We had just enough money to exactly match what they said we needed that stuff to get into it. And they gave us that for the value of the house. So all of the money that we'd spent in Honduras, it's going to be getting back into our hands and we're really going to have some of it. Now, we have all of these beautiful points. We can just sell this, move down, have a farm and walk to the beaches and people on the street do all that stuff. But then God has a sense of humor. He fixed it up, and now it's word of mine. And all of a sudden, God spoke to us. I had a friend who we were preaching the gospel in Puerto Rico. And while we were in Puerto Rico, Rich was up preaching, and a lightning bolt came right to the center of the church. The marble floor. The power of God came into the building, laying on it. God, this is it starts having oil moving off of it. People are taking the oil and taking it out to the street and praying for sick, and everybody's getting healed.
Praise God.
And I was like, I've seen the power of God. I've seen what it does say. And he went through a divorce and he fell off the scene. His wife stripped him of everything, his name, said that he was the problem for that abuse. the church of 25,000 people that he was pastoring was gone. So he just decided to stop fighting and he went to the Philippines. But he forgot that God had spoken a prophetic word and made him blinky and spoken into his life in East Asia. God asked him, that's the rich and great exactly where God said you were supposed to be. We're not in there, buddy. Funny little. He said, I sometimes have been sticking in place where you wouldn't even know. I said, well, Rich, I'm just going to do some in a few places. But, yeah. And I started just encouraging him to get back in. Give him a breath. He starts going in and starts preaching to the indigenous people. Now, opens the door for him. Number 43, well, now you heard the gospel. The Muslims have come in and tried to convert him. But he's over there. And about 3 weeks ago, he calls me and says, I need your help. I need my help. He says, yeah, you got to tell me what to do. I said, what? He says, there's a lawyer that goes to the church that I'm helping out. And he says, this lawyer asked me if I would meet with the government of the Philippines. He said, sure. He says, I'll let you hear from them. You might know him. He says, yeah. And he goes with him and they say, do you have any people that can? And he says, I'm just me. I only got one guy who sends me money. This is what I do for us. And I basically, what did they tell you? He says, they rescued 3,000 kids from the sanctuary in Israel. From the ages of 3 to 4. Now, in Honduras, we have 100. But that was like 3,000. It's got to be God. Because there's no way that you can just look at 2 people and say, what can you do? I thank God for all of the things I do for Tom. I thank God for learning how to build a city. I thank God that I see all of the things that can be done on one level. I thank God that when we were down there, we saw over 1,000 people received us. I thank God that we saw hundreds of people here. I thank God that we fell. I thank God that we raised up 2 churches. I thank God for all of that. Out of 3,000, from the ages of 40 to 14 and 15 years old, he says, yeah, man, we have a problem. He says, the boys, when they rescue them, they take them, there's no place to put them. No place. He says, so we're keeping them in the jail. So they rescue them from people who have hurt them. They lock them in a jail because that's the only way that they protect them from the people who have to use them again. And the girls, they put back into the foster care system. Where the people will probably use them and sell them. I believe that there's that many men and that there's that many women that would want to abuse a child.
Yes.
There must be a lot of millstones in heaven.
Yeah.
Ray just tossed a whole bunch of people in the city because they can't imagine for life that anybody could find any pleasure in living and destroying the innocent.
I
can't. So, I'm not Rich. We got to get more information. So, he's in the discovery stage. We found out a building that was Tim Tebow's family did only a couple of people at the ministry of working houses to let the baby family down. They don't know what to do with the property. He's investigating. I said, Rich, I have all kinds of ideas. You go there and get money together. I said, I didn't even know where to get it. Every night I'm going to. I wonder how he understood that. I'm a building to bring in 15 young to go to 3 and 4 meetings. Is human being. 3,000 in one day. So I said, we should have to find out. So I said, we've got to do this right. We can't have any government. You have to have total integrity over the money that comes in. Be accountable for every dollar. We have to do this right. Get the NGO started now. It's an NGO, and NGO is a piece of paperwork that says it's trusting you with the lives of those children. And if you know somebody's being trafficked somewhere, you go show them your authority and you say, you go get those children right now. You go with them, you take them out of the house, and you bring them back to you. You protect them. We have some government agencies. We're working on that paperwork right now. I'm sitting there thinking, these weather and superstars, it's fall. When you live in Arizona, for example, I always saw some snow until this year. They went to Arizona and when you guys were spritzed and looked like you're doing hikes in the mountains and San Diego Springs. So now, that's the door that's been opened. It's in the very beginning stages of my take us to get to 116 months. We're going to go on a trip, she's doing an investigation. We're going to see the things with our own hands, put it all together with our own hands, make sure everything is there, but we don't believe it. And so we're sitting down, we're getting here to get here today, and the phone rings, we come, and I will see a verse, and the phone rings, and I'm like, you know, and the phone rings, my wife says, hey, is somebody from Wisconsin? I'm talking. I don't get the answer. You know, we have some phone with a lady in Madison. She goes, are you Ron Fry? I said, yeah. She goes, are you the ones that rescued kids? I said, well, I was doing that. She said, you're going to the Philippines, right? I said, yeah, I mean, that's my plan in the future. I've got a group of people that are holding staff in my home. And I said, well, save your money, put it in the piggy bank because I'm taking it. I said, I'm going to tell you exactly what it's going to go for, exactly what we're going to do. And she kicked out free from it. That phone call, she ran over, she needs to back out again. Oh, we're in the zone. Well, the phone rings. And see, I need to work through the city. It's the only welding school there. Something to ask you. I read your thing on Facebook. My son lives where you live. Let's sell your house. How can you buy it? I'll rent it from you because you're trying to say if you don't see it. This is how I said, my son was a mechanic. You wouldn't want to do anything you want, but he'll rent it from you. So, God, what are you kicking me out of my house? I'm like, okay, but let me tell you something. The thing that I want to do, the most instructing and the most thing about me and what we do, what I'm trying to say is we use God, it becomes the greatest adventure of your life.
Yes.
And you come to church every week and think that you're what you do is you go to church. And that is 5% of the reality of how life through Christ is all about.
Yes.
The thing that I want to speak to people about this weekend is the church in America has lost its identity. I lost mine, and the only thing I can speak from that is because I lost mine when I was curious. So easy to just forget who you are and who he called you to be, especially if you get sick. That's why the Bible says in James, it says, if there are any sick among you, let them come to the elders to get some benefit of the things you shall be healed. Why? Because when you're sick, you don't feel like free. It's very tough. I'm saying, God, get this over with so I can do what I'm supposed to do with you. But at the same time, when you read the scriptures, when you read James, and you read, you know, Hebrews, it says, let not a double minded man think that he's ever going to see anything. So the minute that your mind it's telling you, yes, the word of God says it, but in your heart, it's not convinced.
Yeah.
It leads to frustration as a Christian.
Yes.
See, that somebody else told me about this. But the beauty of what God wants to do is he wants to change your identity. When you first got saved, you know what the church told me? Even the first, you can never go with it. I was going to the assembly, God, they used to have that thing in the if you were on the edge, you'd be home. And I was writing to the And they said, you can preach on the street. You can go to the first century. So we had first century, we had outreach center that we opened up downtown. We started preaching to people on Fridays and Saturday nights, going on some statements, came and talk to some of the evidence ones. He has no advantage of the exposure with these guys in Minnesota. And he came down to Janesville, was taking us out on the street, teaching us how to go face to face with people. And he was good. And from there, God just continued to blow things up. They said, well, you can't do this. So before you went to this little church, a church like this, a Assembly of God church, and my chairman, myself, Kurt Van Loven, we got all on fire for God. My first marsh was the first. So he's a sweet man. He's not time to work. But we said, don't let us do this. Let's just go to the street. We started going out to the street and just praying for people. And you know, Americans, we church.
Yes.
There was a time when there were so many miracles going on inside the church, people would not say, I said, come to the church, so, you know, I get up. German on worship music, I get the floor, put a pillow on my head, put his leg on the floor. And I go, what are we doing? What are you doing? I said, I'm leading him. It's just a part of the
worship. Yes.
And I will know a message on that if I ever stop speaking, I have to get through. One of the boys, his name was Ethan. All of a sudden, he starts laughing. And then another kid starts laughing. And they thought, and all of a sudden, I said, what's God saying here? He said, God said the Lord. And this time, there's four young men in there that were just laughing. The Holy Spirit laughed. It just broke out in and at times when the Holy Spirit moves in certain manifestations, people will start hearing some dead dog. The person starts barking like a dog. Yes, if I can't discern what it is, I'll just let it go, you know? But all of a sudden, they're just fighting. I said, what's the problem? I said, you can tell me, though. He just told me it's easy to do it. You need to go. You're still. So they get in the car. They're still, the Holy Spirit is so heavy on them that they're just fighting. They got into the presence of God.
Yes.
They shut the world down, went forward, God gave them the instructions on what to do, and they just did what God said to do.
That's awesome.
That's, you know, we sometimes make it so difficult.
Yes, we do.
Not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He's with you constantly. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Yep.
We are not alone. I'm not alone. He's singing the songs. Yeah, he's with us. He's in person. He's for an opportunity to speak to you.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Except for most people, only hear it when he's saying the condition in their mind has been conditioned to receive. So here we put them out of their traditional thing, lay here. They go into Walmart and they're laughing so loud that the manager of the store thinks that they're drunk and being disorderly. And he comes up to him and says, you guys can't be here. Yeah, sure, God. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. They start having to take out the store. And they go, wow, didn't you hear God?
Speechless.
Three of them got the calling left. They know what's happening. Like, here, I'm staying. So, back in what you got in? She said, I'm going back in. God told us to go there. Well, we're going home. So, three of them left, and Ethan goes back in. He goes back into the store, and he's wanting to get the door, but the just kicked him out of the fence. Ethan's trying to control us. He's just trying to not. He wants that store. Now he's in front. Now he's got a front. And he walks to the back of the store, gets to the last line of the store, and he sees a woman in a wheelchair. And God says, no prayer.
Yeah.
Now, Ethan's never been a pastor. He's never been But Richard, he's never been called out. He was just so good and just went forward. He got assisted. What did he do? He just started walking in God's plan for what he had for him to do that day.
Yes.
And he walked to the back of the store, saw the lady, walked over to his name, and said, anybody with now, I would hope that maybe the very first time they got to go away for somebody, they'll just run a little cold. So here's the lady that's in a wheelchair. I've been in churches where people are sitting in a wheelchair, and he says, everybody here needs to get for him, and now we're going to have a wheelchair. He's from pulling up packages, he's in the lady, he's focusing on the digital thing, or I didn't talk to him, the thing was going to happen. Take for 5 minutes to do that. So, here it was. Watch over some damn thing. It's just somebody prayed for me for the last year. Lord.
Amen.
He said, can I pray for you right now? So he kneels down and she says, please do. He lays hands on her feet. And just starts calling forth the fire of God to come into her life. 18-year-old kid. Not somebody who's been through cemetery, in seminary. Not somebody who's gone through all the rituals of the training. Somebody that is just being normal human that this goes to church telling there's more.
Yeah.
There's much more. This church doesn't grow because goes up. This church grows when everybody that's in it understands who they are and they begin.
Yeah.
There we go. You need a pastor. I had a prophet with me. He said, when they're with Christ, they're in the meeting. And then the meeting opens, they're off. He said, you need to have a smart jockey. He said, you need to have a smart jockey that gets on the back, pulls back on reins. And you said, Pastor, no doubt. But you need that, you know. You need people that can speak in and can tell you the things that God's doing and encourage you to just keep going. Then young man prays that, and you know, all of a sudden she starts screaming. And he's more shocked than she is. Yes, get up, and he goes back to the prayer. He's praying. He said, Jim, I need you to just sit up out of that chair and walk. She said, I haven't walked in 3 years. Get out of the chair and walk. She steps up, starts walking in the chair, starts dancing that long. He says, okay.
Praise God.
And he said, I'm not that way. He says, just follow what God told me to do. And he told the lady, take your wheelchair and get it out. You can't come out. Don't send him in there again. And he comes to church, and he comes to me, and he says, Pastor, I want to tell you the story so you can tell me what's wrong with you. See, I never show, but you know, you come down here and you get something, you tell me what's wrong with you. So I said, he gets a subscription to gospel, and he gets snowy. He says, anybody who wants to walk in the story, let's go. And the whole front of the altar is filled with young kids, and he's laying all out. 17 years old.
Praise God.
And all he did was realize who he was. That is, his understanding that is so simple. God always moves with people who understand being in his presence.
Yes.
Now, I'm sharing when we got here with Johan's wife. And I'm saying, some of the things that they're doing, trying to figure out some of the stuff that's going on with me, you know, was they brought me into this room and put this box over my head, this little red light, and they couldn't test my hearing to see if my balance was because of, you know, something going on with my inner ear. I thought they didn't check my eyes. I said, that's my inner ear. And the doctor said, yeah, because you're sending. He said, your mind sends your signals. He said, when God created you, when God created you, he put in your brain these things called neurons. Those neurons live based on the information that you've created. That's what God says. So is he.
Yes.
He says, so these miracles, what you focus on, what you feed, what you give to it every single day, your body, your brain will begin to bring it forth into your life. If you're a drug addict and trying to get off drugs, you're going to be a drug addict trying to get off family. Because if you do these things continually, your neurons get sent to a cycle to the place where you are going to life for it. And you stop for life. And you think, I'm too old. Your body's like, what are you doing? You have to renew your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, renew your mind. So they said, we're going to do this thing. And so why do I have to go to class on here? Because we've got to expand your brain. Because your brain is so set to operate in the way that it is. If you don't check it, you won't have anything. But when you check your brain, just since I can be able to see anything, you're going to be in complete darkness. That's the way it goes through the darkness. We live within one spirit. And we see a little bit of you said it. And they started blowing air into my ears. And I was, my wife was saying, both of you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can drive home after the site. I had nothing. They went and shot the hot air in there. I was saying, what the heck are you doing? I felt like, I'm doing this. And I was scared of that way. Then they said, no, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with your head. And finally, I got my mind into my ears. Oh, but you're an answer. Yeah, you have to do your eyes to follow this land. There's nothing wrong with your eyes.
Let's go.
Do you know that I had two strokes before I came to the United States? Passed up on the street and were fishing back. They took me to a hospital. They did an MRI. They can't find me.
Thank you.
What would paralyze me? I can tell you all kinds of stuff. You know that. When the church came today, you're going up the street, there's a lot of people in the church, and there was a lady named Anna Gilbert, who was the Freedom from Religion thing, and they were sickness. And they wanted to stop us from going up and preaching the gospel. We had got a permit to go into every church. See, I couldn't preach in the church. You know, if they're waiting for your opportunity to preach church, it's going to be a long time until you get up and get active, and something real, something's true.
That's good. That's
good. So, we got permission. We're going to put trucks, put permits, and we're going to get up here. I'm going to go to the parks to meet just for sin. And then everyone's here to share the testimony. And people would sit around and they would listen to us. No more than you. Just Gary. Didn't impact. And you know, tonight when we were praying, it's so prophetic. We were praying, and you said, oh, well, I didn't know if I didn't remember. I thought this was a pastor thing. Let me tell you something. There is no difference between you and me. I don't care how long I've been working with you. If you sit behind and you want to pray, you come right over there and stand in there. There's nobody going to turn you away because that part's black. Never.
Yes.
There was a man in the movie. Mel Gibson. Braveheart. Recent titles for people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you stand around struggling for the position while I go out and live.
Come on.
I've been invited for it.
Yes.
See, what you need to understand is there is no difference between you and me. The only reason that I have experienced what I have done in my life is because I did that to sit there and let somebody tell me what I'm supposed to do. Because if I followed the mandate of that, when I first got saved, but there's something inside of my head that said, I want to see people get saved. I want to see the miracles that this book talks about.
Yes.
So we went to the parks, and then the Lord said, we're going to speak. I was interviewed by the medicine newspapers, by medicine kids, and asked, what do you think they do? But she was awake of the idea that she thought she would kill John Green, head football coach at Cincinnati, because he would pray with team. And she said, stop it. And he just basically said, be fine. He died of a heart attack 2 weeks later, riding the bike, makes him the best people. And they were saying, they said, he's kind of looking at his family, he's taking it to him. They were praying about it. And he said, you better stop and we'll come back to you. I said, you're just going to be in the bell house. Don't you have any of my feet walking?
Yes.
That's what? I'm driving to church one day. I see this. I'm going through the San Martin section. Guy was driving a police car, and didn't have his license. He was just rushing to go through. I hit him inside his car, and I saw something like a clown sitting in the front seat. And I thought, oh, I killed his kid. My dad, she was 180 degrees down the bush. She was 30 yards back into somebody else's front yard. Then 25 minutes. My dad hit the window. I broke the neck and stole us from back in the city. They met at me in the University of Hospital Mass. My pastor, Seventh Day Pastor of Jesus, Gerald Christensen. He walked in that church, tears in his face. He goes, "Hey, my head sinks to a board." And he looks at me and says, "God's called you to teach to us, but he just doesn't believe that you can do it. I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Just believe what God's promised you with the word."
Yeah.
His lays hands and his tears are falling on my face, and I can't even look. At that point, I said, the doctor came and said, "We have to stabilize your neck. That, you know, you're going to choke." I said, "I'm going to choke. You're not going to move." "Why?" I said, "Because I'm not afraid to die. This is a wish." I said, "Your God is going to heal. I'm dying, man." Right? It's fine. They tried to have a voice to me. Never. Long story, believe. "Why did you not let them do that?" I said, "Do you make it for your man? Get out of this room. This room is going to be dedicated to pray and worship. And if you come into this room with any other intention of praying and worshiping and being with me, get out." And guess what happened? The doctor goes in and says, "Well, if you're going to die, that's fine." I said, "I'm not dying. I said, I'm going to live to proclaim the Lord." That's what the Word of God said.
Yes.
So I was leaving that bed. Next day, all of a sudden, one day in my left, I was like, "Oh, God, this is good." I write on it. I say, "In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus." I did it for hours. And all of a sudden, my right arm was standing with my left arm. And then they had a chain. They had a TV with a chain on it. So I could watch TV. And I started bench pressing the TV. And the doctor came and said, "What are you going to do?" You've seen it here. He says, "Well, sometimes you don't feel like I'm trying to run you up with this ability that when you run your success, it's like, what are you doing? You're not looking at anything. The thing you're going to look at is my business."
Praise God.
See, when God speaks something to you, you've got to have it in you.
Yes.
And I was even a Christian for a long time, maybe 2 years. I was in 46 years into this. Oh, God is real.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did great to show me new people. And yet I went all over and I went home to church. But in Africa, we got rain coming down. We're going to be in the country. Fires breaking up. We're going to people that things growing. I mean, it's amazing. See, we don't have any more sense that we can't heal somebody from Antonio.
No.
I'm guilty. I'm in the house of the church. I'm going to die. And I did. The paid missionaries jumped in the bed and said, "Oh, you're going." I thought I'd still leave my body and my wife would say, "No, come back." She starts praying and screaming like, "I never just want to get that excited." My and I sat down and I looked at my sister and said, "You love your mother, what happens?" Where was the God who walked down to the university store for 3 days? I literally used the knife, but all the feeling that went into my waist. One day I took my legs, pulled them up, saying to me, "The doctor walked in and said, 'What are you going to do?' I said, 'I'm going to get up and run.' I said, 'Well, I think you're going to run.' I push myself on the bed, my legs pushed. I didn't sell. Red lights go off. They bring in, they throw me out of the bed. They said, 'Don't you have to die?' I said that I was trying to do the horse. So I laid there and got my strength. 2 hours later, a few of my legs up. And the doctor's on the stage and he died. I'm walking right by the injection station and go, what the heck is that? When I that day, my friends came and came down. I said, I'm walking to the church. What is 5 miles? I said, I can't walk that far. I'm only 20 miles away. And I walked 5 miles to get to the church at 6 o'clock. And my pastor was up in front. This beautiful. How are we up in the body of Christ? My pastor was up in the He's in the right place. It took us a little while to get there. We missed first. Walking into the door, he sees me and he goes, he falls down on his face. He just starts. You're good. I said, you're playing. Since I took straight away, you don't want to leave. Why am I saying this? Because here I was after seeing nothing. I've been in Africa and seeing it was prophesied we'd bring rain. It took 2 years to go home today. It was going to rain. It flooded the city. The hotel that had a pool behind it was still in the park. We were swimming in a pool that we couldn't use when we first got after we just moved on. The president of the country, we ended up meeting the guy with somebody against him. We ended up prophesying, and everything we said happened. When he got the next time, they hit us up here. The Bible says it. Doesn't the Bible say that? That God will place it for the kings and princes?
Yes.
I was pastoring a little church where he has many people in there just in his room right now. From a small beginning. And God is coming to us and allowing us to do supernatural miracles simply because we had the audacity to believe His word was true.
Yes.
And here I am in Honduras, and here a demonic attack like I had never felt. I've done deliverance. We've had people come to our church in Wisconsin, driving from 4 states across to get deliverance from the kids who are struggling. And I'm in Honduras, I'm being attacked by a little bit of the and say, I'm going to be all your help today. Just try to show me something to be out of here. And I'm leaving the place to rat, and I look at the desk, and kids are closing, and God is closing the desk, and I'm leaving, leave me alone. And I heard the voice of the desk saying, who can punch you to leave once you're dead? And I told the people, we need to pray that God floats us, that they can't float us. We got to tell them, and that night, you know, it was just fighting something on that, and the kids didn't hardly even see it. That string there at the top of his voice, Jesus, you need to move. How dumb had I become? How religious had I become? Seeing God bring the thoughts from heaven. And I'm crying. I'm going to teach you something tonight that has happened in America. When Charlie Kirk was killed, Charlie Kirk was like the man in Naboth's Vineyard. The thing that he was killed there was Vineyard Utah. He was taken out of the vineyard and he was brought to another location. And outside of that vineyard, he was assassinated. Then Jezebel took the thing and gave it to her husband Ahab, because he couldn't have that man's vineyard. Because that man had to give up the vineyard from the law to get it to him. And he would have been wealthy instead if he was in the paradise. Ahab and Jezebel were playing the country at that time. The men that they killed, Naboth. And who was it? Jezebel. You know that Charlie Kirk, when he was in Utah, when Charlie Kirk was in Utah, there was a group of women praying to put a curse on him, a witch's group of people. You know what the name of the witch's group was? Jezebel. Surprised by that. He was assassinated outside a city called Vineyard. And when he went down, God spoke to Dr. Khan, spoke to me, and said, this is the time that I will now raise up my Elijahs to confront the darkness that's in this world. I'm telling you here in Minnesota, we can sit back in Wisconsin and watch the stuff that's going on in there. Because he said, you
He's investigating. He's punching these pointing demonic dragons offering this state to withstand you when you stand up. In the traditionals and matters, so easy process. Am I with you? Are you a man of God? Yeah. She looked at me and said, you know, you just wait. I mean, we're almost, if there's nothing that will get you very confused, she says, how do you believe all this stuff? How do you mean? She isn't saying much. But what she does, what she says, has profound impact. There's a song that's written by very good man John Woodlock started the day where they were having miracles. He wrote the song years ago. And I was listening to a gentleman said they wrote and released that song 30 years ago. He says, you need to start singing the song. It's called Days of Elijah. Right after that prophecy came out, I didn't bring my reading glasses, so bear with me here. It says, this is the first verse. These are the days of Elijah.
Yes.
Declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, the fire and darkness and sword, still we are your voice
yes.
in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord.
Yes.
That's just verse one. Start singing that song. Start singing that song. Don't just sing it. See, I tell people, go to church to hear the word. I don't come to church to hear the word. If I'm not, I don't come to hear that. I come to church to work. Worship is our gift to Him. His word is His gift to us. So I don't want to err on the idea of more worship, less work, and more action. But if we would get this right, look at this. It says, behold, ye comes, shining like sun. The days when we're waiting for the rapture of the church. If you only understood, how many of you ever read the book of Wormwood Prophecy? You know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
There was a former Assembly of God pastor in Missouri who had died, went to heaven, got showed a bunch of things, and said, you won't remember it until the time was going to happen. He prophesied that the Pope was going to retire, which never happened. Said the exact day it was going to happen. Yes, right. That day came, the Pope didn't retire. Everybody called him a heretic, everybody left him. A year later, they found out the Pope had retired the year before. They just don't know what to do because Pope dies and then they do the same things.
Yes.
They never had to deal with it, so they didn't want to do it. So now everybody wants to know what's going to show you. He wrote the one word from Senior, that is, that's about a stone called Dilphus. It's an meteor that floats around in space. That's a cycle that comes around the earth. Comes around the earth. It's coming. It was here in the year 2001. You know what happened? It didn't even come close. It just passed by. We had volcanoes. Indonesia had that flood, the tsunami that killed thousands of people. Fires broke out in various places. It didn't come near the earth. Guess what? It's predicted to hit the earth in 2029. August 13, 2029. It's going to break up into three pieces, according to the scientists and NASA. Three pieces. What's that sound like? The three stars in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 8, one gets. So I hit in California. California goes into the ocean. You see over here the fire getting burned and you have to see it. It's right here in the sky. 30 years before. 3.5 years before that happens, I believe the election is going to take place. The last year, I was thinking, so now if you need to fix the election, here we are. We're going to be ready. I'm going to be at the Feast of that Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, because I really believe the first four feast days were already fulfilled. Jesus died in the Passover, was buried on the unleavened bread, rose from the dead on the first fruits, and Pentecost 50 days later. But the last three feasts have yet to be fulfilled. So I kept thinking, it's got to be. I was ready for the king. I was repenting of repenting, you know. I was making sure that we were ready. But guess what? No matter what the time is, we're in the season.
Yeah.
Do you understand that when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, and they found the calendar that was followed by Noah and his seniors, the same on the three street? Do you realize that that calendar, when they knew that Jesus was going to die in the year 32, if you ever read, you understand that the people that came to Jerusalem, when Jesus rode there on a donkey, they were waving palm branches, and they were screaming, and they were yelling, oh, what's that? What's that? What's that? And at the same
time,
mm-hmm. people waving palm branches, they were the kings who had that knew in the year 32 AD, according to the prophecy of Daniel, that the Messiah would come to Jerusalem and they would ride on the donkey. And they saw it coming, they knew that he'd come to die.
Mm-hmm.
See, we read the book of scriptures and we think that the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the seven minded people, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, were all different from the government today. That is the government.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. I don't care who the president is.
Yes.
My job is to enlighten the lost. My job is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the dying. My job is to demonstrate the power of God to the people that are dying and lost with me. Care what he does.
That's right.
He's nothing but a working God. And God is using the work of Ezekiel chapter 38 taking place right before your eyes. And if you feel Zachariah, 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 chapter 2. Talk about the gospel strength.
Yeah.
That it would be completely desolate. And I have to build it for him and give it back to the tribe of Judah. And you know what he's saying he's going to do?
He's going to be gone. And he's going to be gone.
You know, watching Zephaniah chapter 2, right now, you ain't fulfilled. You're watching Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38 times on your life. You're living in the moments. You're seeing that Revelation chapter 8 to be fulfilled within the next 3.5 years.
Come on.
I was hoping the rapture would take place. Because I used to believe that God told me when I could see it, that I would see it.
Hmm.
In that book, the seed of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You know, if we saw that today, we wouldn't even call them Jews. They would be Jews only by name. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And they didn't believe in Jesus. That would be the criteria for sitting in the cult. The people that were carrying the word of God, say that priesthood, the seniors who left with the calendar when the Romans were trying to change the calendar when God gave them to the Lord and changed it, they changed it so the only calendar was useful. So all the feasts, you know, they tried to go back and do feasts in Israel. They did them in long days. Because the family was, you know, people went in, they got damaged. Because they didn't know what time of season they were in. Mm-hmm. But when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they began to examine them. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were false prophets. Some people said, what was it? Like, I just don't know what you said. They were guilt. During the Maccabean War, they changed the Romans. They said, if you're going to stop the book, you know, what do you think most churches do? They consult the book. They want to come up, they want us kept down. The devil wants us kept down.
Right.
Because we never come into the identity of Jesus, which we're going to get into this week. I'm going to show you how to get into the person's life and save them. Because you know what? I didn't come up here to do all the miracles.
Yeah.
You want to see a miracle speak? Start believing.
Yeah. Come on.
What are the meetings when they've been standing there? come on those meetings sometime, and all of a sudden, in the midst of worship, you just close yourself.
I just close yourself.
Stop reading the words. Just do what I do. I go sometimes to church, I just go sit in the back row. I sit down on the floor, and I lay down on the floor, and I just listen. And I lay down and say,
yeah,
what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you get somebody will walk into the church, and all of a sudden, they will see the face, you'll see the door, and they'll say, and the miracles will start popping up, and you won't be able to control it.
And you go, come on.
You won't be able to stop. And you won't believe that you will go.
Come on.
If you would have told me when I first got saved, I would preach the gospel in 32 minutes, that I would see revival in 7, that God would use me in the church, and I was looking to birth me in the Philippines, where my father fought in World War II, and where 5 of his brothers died on that island. Black blood is building in the sand of Neil James and some place to open. The Fry family, Colonel James Fry, led the death of Neil James. My great 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 great. Joe Fry led the battle of the French Indian War. We have been in every war this country's ever had. And then I come to realize that most of the reasons for the fight is because the people manipulate the money. It's pretty new as these funds. So that they get richer and you get more control.
Yeah.
Everything is about controlling you. But when you get out of that box,
come on.
When you go to 32 different countries, perhaps, all of a sudden God just starts putting the wind on you. That's what's saying to you right now. Because that's exactly what they have. That's exactly what can happen when you believe. When you have the audacity to believe that God can go seemingly abundantly above all that you can even think and imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word says. I was told I can't preach in church. So God took me to 32 different countries. And I've seen 7 revivals. I've seen 100.
Praise God.
And nobody knows who I am. I don't care as long as you know who Jesus
is. Yeah. Come on.
Listen. Lift up your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Do you know in the year 2025, according to that calendar that God did show, they knew that the final Jubilee through the fall was there when Jesus came. Jesus was born at the beginning of the final Jubilee cycle. And the temple was destroyed in the year 70 AD. Jesus died in 32. He came right in the middle of the final dispensation of law. And we moved into grace.
Yeah.
The final dispensation of grace is entered into in 2025, September 2025. Some people will mark it as March of this year. This world is going to have 50 years to fulfill everything that God spoke in the Bible by the explicitly. The judgment of the nation is everything. It's all going to be done. We will have a new earth, everything. Jesus is coming. And then Apophis is coming. Now, can you imagine it? It's going to break off. Can you imagine the chaos that's going to be going on in this world? Because no one will see it coming for a year and a half before it gets here. Why do you think Donald Trump started the DART program? Why do you think he started the Space Force program? Do you know that when there's an asset that Trump will send them in DART? That's the mission. They send it out of space. How many of you ever saw that movie Asteroid on TV where they go up with the nuclear bomb and they try to go up and ask them to see the Earth? I just think they got the inspiration for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? They send it. When they build their asteroids coming by, you know, they send up these missions and they're trying to get the Earth and culture has to change. Now, half of the scientists in NASA say it's going to hit the Earth. It's close enough to the Earth to take out our satellite. What do we do with no electricity and no communication? What do we do when it's 40,400 miles of us and it's going to cross between the Moon and the Earth? Satellites, if it doesn't hit the Earth. But you know what happens? If it doesn't hit the Earth, it changes its orbit, causes it to go back around. You know, you guys, 7 years later, and fall into year 2032 will be the year of the rapture, because that's going to hit the Earth in 2036. Because you said the second time, and now you see it will be Greenland. That's true. And they're getting ready to The devil's going to have to come down to the show. He's getting ready to release the files of those unidentified phenomena, all these influences in the world. Oh, where they came from? The Bible. They were here in Genesis 6. They didn't go anywhere. Some of them were in everlasting chains. Some of those spirits didn't die, and they're in the kids of the
Yeah. Come on.
Oh,
preach it.
Here we go. This verse. And these are the days of Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Dry bones becoming as flesh. The battle's taking place. Dry bones are the key. Here we go. And these are the days of serpent David. Rebuilding the temple of Christ. Do you understand this? The only thing in the Old Testament that God said that he would rebuild in the New Testament is the tabernacle of David. And what was the tabernacle of David? It was a house of praise. David violated every rule of the presence of God. He could have on his white clothes on from being in battle against the Philistines. He could walk right into the presence of the Lord, sit there in the midst of praise, and worship God, which was a violation of the way God had taught them how to act. He said, but that temple I'm going to go with this time. He can come with me anytime, any place, and he can worship me. That's in that place of worship. That's why you need to keep praise. You need to understand the dynamic. If you understand the dynamic, you couldn't sit still. You'd be sitting in the chair. You'd be screaming. You're coming to the chair. I jump in front of the kids and I just start screaming. I started dancing. My kids didn't watch the lights. This is something. But, you know, like, praise God. Praise God. Come home.
Come on.
If you understood that one can send thousands of fight, two can send 10,000 fight, you understand? What happens when the dynamic? See, the purpose of the church is to come together in fellowship, strengthen one another in effect.
Yeah.
So that when we leave this building, we're not saying that we are filled with just with the power necessary to go on do it. See, I know because I learned, because I allowed the lies of the enemy to get into my mind and lay there and think that I can help me out. Don't touch me.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. The man with his hands on me.
There you go.
I'm 71 years old and I'm coaching a boys basketball team now. Because I'm not 71 years old. I'm 15 miles behind you.
They're
acting like me, but that's right. I'm trying to try these. And these are the days.
Yeah.
The fields are white in the world. And we are laborers in the vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
What?
You know what Christians do the most lying?
What I'm saying?
I'm saying. Absolutely. Listen, I'm singing a song in my house yesterday. If my wife gets to place a piano, she's going to sing. She's going to play it. Let's just sing a song. I'm going to get you a song. Listen to this. Jesus. All for Jesus. All my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender to Thee into for it's only by Your will. Free, for it's only I said, son, you'll learn to speak. That's what
Right?
I was trying to go to like, I was excited when I was here. And it's just like so. Not that bad to be watching folks. I see downstairs right next to like the TV.
Yeah.
It's worse.
See, there's no two languages. Seventy's already preaching gospel from the age of 10.
Praise God.
Seventy was already praying. Jesus, what is it?
Used to.
The son, the mother told the son, you know, you have this guy that's a friend of yours. Maybe you should have a charge of the mother. Maybe you should have a friend of mine. Why don't you say that to yourself? Because Simon says, my joy is somebody else. Where do you want me? He starts preaching to him over the phone. Tells him, you need to get your life in Jesus. You need to. You can't accept Jesus Christ. Pray to me, my son, over the phone. How old is he? 12 years old. He's preaching the gospel over the phone.
With God.
With God. The boy gets the blood to Jesus. Said, Bob, I'm going to go to. And she goes, well, I'll take you. They go to a charismatic church. Mama walks in there. She's calling out everything.
Praise God.
She's giving her life to Jesus. She's giving her witchcraft. And she's telling all of her witch friends that there's only one God who saves Jesus. And it's breaking out to me. Because the son, 12 years old, preached the gospel to somebody that was in a video game.
Praise God.
It's not reserved. You know, it's not reserved. It's all good. I'm singing the song. Sing it. The God said, oh, what are you going to have to ask? What are you going to wish you had to work with?
There you go.
That's kind of what we all just can't get all the way again. You know what the answer was? Oh, doesn't that what happened to my son? He escapes the son. Don't you again.
Oh, no.
She was, what's wrong with your son? That's. I should have been the V8. But when you see it, when you on your seat, when I was in that doctor's office, they said, you have confusion. And some of the stuff that we shared this weekend, it's going to, you have to allow your brain to be realigned. You need to allow the neurons inside your brain to see you in another dimension. You need to start believing what God said. And you know, it is a process. That's why the Bible says that He's changing us from glory to glory.
Yes.
When it talks about, you know, us going into the cocoon and becoming a new creation, it's a process. And you know what has to happen to that worm that goes into the cocoon? It has to die. And you know what they call the cocoon that it goes into? Crystals. Folks, like Jesus. He went to the cross and died, and he came up with the witness. Jesus, the day of the cross. We have to die to this world and live for Him.
Yes.
Now, do I like to read that happens?
Yes.
Yes, I will. Thank you very much. I'm going to be seeing something.
Yes.
We like ladies too. I'm like Justin Hughes. I hope that they don't say that she was But no, I'm just joking. But sexual affections on the phone set. The eyes of the Lord are true for the cross here, looking for a man that he has put his whole heart on. He has put his whole heart on, sticks on, and he says, in that man, in swim.
Yeah.
Listen, all the people that I knew, and all the people that I've run into, sometimes I think I'm the least spiritual one of all.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have a very low feeling. One thing I was used to say is money to be out. I used to deal bills in Mexico. Before I got saved, I had millions of dollars in the bank from dealing bills to the powerhouse in Mexico. I got arrested because he was putting me into the police, and he was part of it. And he was supporting me, killed me. But he wanted my money. So he turned me in. I got arrested. I got held in prison. He brought in a lawyer. I signed it. And I thought that they were going to defend me. They stole my money. 3 months later, after sitting the next person, I got out, came back and married. I was going to go kill my wife's father. and her entire family. And I waited to do it. I'm sitting.
Praise God.
Oh, is that a problem? God hasn't planned for your life, and it's not just to sit. When I was in high school, how many of you are going to be sitting on the bench and they're picking teams to play, and you're the last one picked? I wanted to be the first one out of that court. I didn't even watch the game. I didn't play the game.
Yeah.
But we come to church, and we have the opportunity to participate in the game, and we sit there, he's not been elected, and yet you want to be elect. You are the very people he called. Do you really think that you were born at this time in the earth? In the preparation of God, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined them. Yeah. For works. Greater works. And you were born in this time to sit in a bed? Wake up.
Come on.
Wake up to who you are. And that means, just when I was in that doctor's office, they had to trip my brain. I had to start getting my life. God said.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Charles and Francis, how many of them had big deals? They started playing for the sick, and when they first started playing, nothing happened. And they went through everything wrestling in the mind. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? They went so through everything. All of a sudden, you know what happens? The neurons in your brain start getting involved, and the lies that they had been believing started dissipating, and the truth of Jesus started breaking forth in your mind. So this process that you're in, this is the beginning process this week, changing your mind. The Bible says renew your mind. Listen, I don't call people to repentance. You know, repentance is a good thing. Do you know what repentance means? When you take the prefix of the word repent, return, run, repay, what do? You take back to the original form and start it.
Yeah.
When you repent, you change the way you used to think. And you go to the highest level of thinking is for me to do repentance. You take your thinking to the highest level. You are not of this world. Jesus said in his word, and we'll get into it this week. Jesus said in his word, all authority in heaven. If I'm going to teach you, I'm going to teach you out of Genesis chapter 1. I'll just give you a little taste of this tomorrow. It's the Holy Spirit of us. But when Adam and Eve were put in the garden, God gave them three things. Dominion and rule. And then he told them to do something. I don't know how many times you're going to do it. How many times are you going to tell them to subdue? What's the meaning to subdue? It means the pain of the mat. Who can you do? There was a war in heaven that transpired before all those two guys. They were already cast to the earth. And God created you in his likeness, and he gave you power and authority and dominion. I went to AI. You know, that chat.
Yeah.
AI. And I was telling you, that's advanced intelligence that's coming not from humans, but coming from, you know, fallen deities. But, let me say, so when God told man to subdue him, what does that mean? Well, then I said, God, that Adam had authority over everything that's created, like the animals, and animals are dead. I said, what about angels? Well, no. Subduing it didn't give him authority to subdue angels. Angels were angelic beings, and they were subject to the rule of heaven because they weren't created for this world. Well, then when God gave Adam dominion, dominion and authority, what did that do? Well, yes, technically, all the devils and all of the fallen angels would have been subject to that. And you could have told them what to do in the world, but you know, he gave that up when he sinned. He has authority and waits for the time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the story. We don't know the story. So what did Jesus do? He told them to subdue the earth. He came into this world and he created a little and said, subdue the earth. The earth. See, they were supposed to just stay in the garden. They were supposed to take the garden and expand it. The garden was supposed to come in heaven. With the authority that he had, you don't understand how much authority that is. You can just walk in and say, flower, dear. So do the earth. That's what it says we did. Right before I preach on it. And then he gave them to nothing. And they gave it away. Because they chose to disobey God and give it away. But then what does Jesus do? Jesus comes back, speaks to us, what does he say? All power, authority, and heaven and on earth have been given to me. Now go.
Yeah.
And you know when you read in Matthew chapter 24, he says, go, and lo, I will be with you. Even to that word lo, it's just two little letter word. But you know what that lowest prepositional phrase? You know what that means? That means if you don't do the first part, second. So if you don't, and I'm with you to do this, you don't get the second part where he's with you. He's with you. Oh. Think about leaving that behind. Trying to go out and do it in your own strength. I've seen ministries that are trying to do it in their strength, and they're on the hell of a mess.
Yeah.
That's what I told my friend about the Philippines. We're not doing this about Jesus, but if he's not leading every 5 minutes, because I see what happens in the ministry, it's often because of God who's in the maintaining the Philippines. And you ask any pastor, who wants to maintain it more, it's dependent on their strength.
Thank you.
No. Then they're done that. Where's your mind? I was with some friends this last thing I said. But we were at the revival. And there was a bunch of guys that came from South.
Yeah.
And one of the guys I knew from another event, they were all down there. And we were in this restaurant. And Holy Spirit are laughing. And it just goes over and says, and they said, Jesus. And she goes, are you going to order? They said, yeah, I'm going to order. Do you know Jesus? And she goes, no, would you like to feel Jesus? And she goes, well, I haven't felt anything. Sit down in the chair. So she sits down in the chair and prayed for her. She had slain the spirit. She came on the floor. Jesus. The other one comes over and says, who's going to help me? Some restaurants are always going to be here. Who's going to help me? He said, have you had that prayed for? Mm-hmm. So we prayed for her. She's laying on the floor. We're stacking them up in the restaurant. Before he gets on, the staff is on the floor laying on the floor. The man comes up and says, what are you doing? There's tumors in here. So the four guys from Scotland say, here, they take the aprons off, they said, we'll get it. We'll go take the aprons. And they start blowing the tables, breaking on the tables. They turn over, they say, can you steal your food? And they start praying for people's food and say, Holy Spirit, get it. And people are falling out of the chairs. They choke over the entire restaurant and call God.
Praise God.
And what's the difference between me and you?
Thank
you. You're sitting down the rest of the
week. Oh!
I love that answer. That is good. That is the best answer I've heard in 45 years. If you have that kind of attitude and belief in yourself, you understand the book is laying at your feet right now.
Mm.
The world is your fishing hole.
Yes. No.
Take it to the next level. Take it to the next level. Spend time in the presence of God. Don't come to church and wait to be in the presence of God. The presence is the key. You don't need to go to the church and the church members. The people come into the service and they begin to sit by their chair and they begin to pray for the presence of God to come into the service before they show up.
There we go. Come on.
They're there already worshiping. Kids that are 7 and 8 years old are basically the master of God, and they're getting told completely yes. And we come and we come late.
That's wrong with time.
They're late sometimes too. Let's try to put a point out. Well, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You understand? If you will take and apply the things that I believe, I didn't even have a plan, but if you said, the guy tells you to go somewhere, just go with it. And I don't even know. I never take those pains. I never compare it to the amount. I did it in Spanish because I interpreted. I had to be down in Spanish. And I sit there and I read the English part in Spanish, but I write it out so that they can understand it. Because there were weeks when we didn't interpret things that were influencing me. But I put notes in here, I threw my story book, and I have notes. God, if you know, there's a power that's available, there's the ability to power, and we're living in the last days, and he's promised that he's going to pour out a spirit. Joel chapter 2 is being fulfilled, that's where we're talking. He's pouring out a spirit from some colleges coming. Mm-hmm. You go to the forest, stream out here, young militia, who can give some prophesy, old militia, who can give some we're in Washington, these wretches. Bruce is going to get stuck up here in front and say, I'm not going to speak about the church. And then it gets all done. They're supposed to say, how do we put the same together? You put it all together. No, beautiful. It's like saying the Holy Spirit will give you what you said. And everybody gets filled up. See, when you come to church, it's to be power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's to be power and release. It's not to be within inside the church. The walls of the church didn't exist. Until Rome, and they Christianity, the church of church in Rome, and they took over the basilicas with ice cream. Up until then, the church survived on the streets and on the byways and the slopes.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, when Christianity became popular, they moved into the basilicas. They copy that to this day. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we're there, we're supposed to do that at the beginning. We're supposed to be like this guy's already. Which, where is he? Show me that! Oh, just let me add. You know? That's just like when I come out from the inside. That's what I told people. If you're in the marketing, that's because you like the nice and brave. As soon as they're looking at the enemy that's in front of them, they're going,
I told my sons about when I was in high school, when I was younger, I studied. I used to get picked on by people all the time. I think they used to beat me up for an appetite punch. My dad was a World War II veteran, he used to camp. So he put me in martial arts. By the time I was 18, I took third with the National Crime Team, which is for the United States. And I told him, this guy looked at me one day and said, he had a broken arm. And my friend picked up and continued to smile. My voice was holding it off the ground. Saying, like, and we said, Lou, put it down. Drop the arm. All the dragon hit me in the face. And the guys were standing out with me. And they helped me out and said, and I looked at him, his daddy, how he was over there. I looked at him and he said, I'm going to punch you over the head with this. I said, before you get that hand up in the air, I'm breaking. So go for it, if you want. That's the way I'm going to be with you.
Yeah, you want to threaten me?
Yeah.
See, when I was in the school bus, through all of the warfare, through all of the things, you know, sometimes you just get buried.
Mm-hmm.
That's why many people go to church. To get built up. But I was in the church. I was too covered in the bush. I didn't have a sense of protection. And after all that, I know what I need to bring sense to the next adventure.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. You come to this place, you start your old soul. When you're up there playing the drums, and you got that thing in there, you're a drum soldier, man. You're a little drum soldier. Well, I told my son one time, he was super, he's taking lessons, you know. I told my son, I said, I'm a war drum. What's that? I said, it's a game. I'm so, and he gets up there and he starts doing it. You understand? This should be fun.
Yeah.
being a Christian is going to be the most fun that you've ever had in your life. And if I'm saying something, it's not to make you feel convicted, not living up to the part. I'm just trying to tell you the potential that you have if you will just get your brain to find what we're talking about. I have seen the glory. I have seen the power of God. I have seen the miracles of every kind. Only because of the fact that he said, oh, you're unbelieving. I'm not going to watch it all. He tells me to go and spend time in his presence. Spend time. Before we came here last week, that's all he did. Every night, the boys from worship and speak. I'm telling you, this is a good thing. Because I'm going to try to shake you up. I'm going to try to shift you on the way to pass. Don't show me. I came back to the United States. Yes. How did you go from that to this? And I got to beat my foolish and I said, please do. Elijah, he ran. It was the time when he ran from Jezebel. And he died. What are you asking for the only one? He goes, stop it. I still got 700 years. You know? I thought I'm hearing fools about bringing food. We all will go through, but that's why we need each other. That's why you need the Bible. That's why you need the church. That's why you need to be here. That's why you need to be comfortable. That's why you need to. When the time comes, you leave that door, you need to see yourself for who you are and recognize that what you experienced in there is only to take you from there to there. The gospel has got to get out. And we will do that here this weekend. If I can get four of you to believe and start doing it, the church that I started at, New Life Assembly of God, Hazel, Wisconsin, had 50 people in it. When I had done my first mission trip, they had bought property that they'd been sitting on for 20 years at the Denver Falls. And now they have a church there that seats 750 people. We filled it with 550 people.
Yeah.
Bunch of people with us. I said, come on, we have fun. We walk down the street one day. I don't do because I don't want to fall out or anything else like that. So, yeah. See, there we go. See that? What kind of confessions? I'll probably do one with you. I'm looking in the street, and this lady goes, she's growling at us like a dog. My friend and I were walking, I go, is that a demon that you're saying? Yes, I don't know. What do you think? That's that. He said, that's good. So it's different. We both are saying, hey, you know, Jesus.
Falling in love. You know.
And she gets in the cab and leaves. So we run back to our basket. And we said, we saw the demon manifest. They recognize you in the world and they're walking in the street. You know, she said to me, what'd you do, babe? Where's your bed at? We were excited that you guys. So you understand what I'm saying? So you have the opportunity, people. This weekend is going to be a week to encourage you to step out.
Yeah.
If we get people coming to the altar and praying, and not go pray, and so the Holy Spirit tells me to, because the man who's better looking is going to coordinate that group. I'm just. My son set me up. It's on the hallway. That's true. Can we pray?
Amen.
Father, you brought us here this week to challenge people, to challenge your people who come whom you have said that they are. You have called